Welcome to the Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
So today, as we start, I just want to say Happy New Year, if you didn't get the theme back there already. It is the new year, it's 2018, if you just woke up and realized that today. I just want to welcome you to the new year. It's been a few days, and we're already into it, but for those of you that spent the new year with us in the desert, we had a great time, and it was wonderful just to enjoy the fellowship and the company, and we're glad those that could make it. If you missed it, we're leaning towards heading back out for February, Hall of Feb, so you're welcome to join us overnight for that as well. More details will come out later as we get closer, but it is a great time, and what a better way to bring in the new year than with family. And the church is our family, and so we're grateful for that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and just thinking about the new year, I'm sure many of us would associate something with the new year. Maybe lots of things, but typically, most people, when the new year comes, what do most people do? Most people would make resolutions, right? All the things that we've been putting off for like this, pretty much from, you know, the middle of last year on, we'll just say, well, that'll be my New Year's resolution, and I'll change then. Now the time's here, and many of us, you know, are setting out to set these resolutions. And some of the, as I was researching and online and stuff, I was looking at some of the resolutions for 2018 that people shared. One of them was to save more and spend less. Okay, save more and spend less. Another one was to pay down debt. Another one was to live a healthier lifestyle. Another one was increase my income. And another was spend more time with family and friends. And my personal one was to successfully stay out of the gym all year. And so I'll let you know how that goes. So if you see me ever talking about going to the gym, just back me down. All right? I'm just kidding. For those of you who are new, I do joke a little bit, so just bear with me. But all these resolutions, they're good things, right? They're good things. There's nothing wrong with them. They're great. And not surprisingly, nobody really leads with, I want to get closer to God. No one leads with, I want to be more disciplined in my prayer time. I want to spend time. I want to be consistent in my walk with God or serving others. You know, it's really, again, nothing wrong with paying down debt, nothing wrong with increasing income. But the problem is if our focus and our hope rests in these alone, two outcomes is you're going to be disappointed either way. What do I mean by that? Most of us, unfortunately, it's been said typically by the second week of February, most people, 80% of people have already dropped their resolution. So you're going to, even if you set resolutions or set these things as this is my resolution, most of you are going to fail. Most of us are going to fail. Let me include that, myself. The second thing, and what I mean by is you're going to be disappointed, is even if you succeed, if these are your source of joy and happiness and your hope is in these things, you will still be left wanting. Because you can always save more. You can always earn more. You can always live healthier. Instead of going to the gym 5 days a week, you can go 7 days a week, twice a day. And there's always the next thing. And you never, again, those things, don't get me wrong, those things are good things. But the problem is when our focus and our hope is in those things, thinking that those are going to bring us joy, those will bring us happiness, apart from God, we're wrong. And so as we begin this new year, I want to share a message with you called Resolute Resolutions. Resolute Resolutions. And it's about really making God a priority in our lives, especially at the beginning of the year here. And again, this is why we spend this new year at the beginning as a church and we fast and pray, is because we want to start the year in a good place, hearing from God with direction and just to pray for our church. And I would encourage you, if you've already made resolutions, to maybe shelve those. And I would encourage you to spend this month truly praying, seeking God, and asking God, here's a scary thing, is to say, God, what are your resolutions for me this year? Right. Your face is perfect. Yeah, it's like, that's a scary thing to ask, isn't it? God, what are your resolutions for me in my life this year? Turning the reins over. Again, because these things that I've shared, they can't bring true joy. And many of these things can become idols in our lives. Money, right? Even like health, body. You know, there's these people that go to the gym. All they do is and the body, their physique becomes their idol. I knew a friend who could literally, it's kind of gross, but it's true. He could hold a dime in between the muscles on his leg. That's how ripped, as we would say, he was. You could see his muscle. He could flex and hold a dime, sorry for those not from, a fill, in his leg. And he still thought he was fat. He would just push himself. And so, again, it's kind of, I think of the analogy of a junkyard. Has anybody ever been to a junkyard? Yeah? Hey, there you go. A few people. A junkyard, if you don't know, is a place where all the cars, when you throw them away, they end up there. Okay? For some people, it's like a treasure hunt. I used to do that as well. Here, I haven't really been, but it's like going to the junkyard and taking one of those cars that are all beat up and sitting there and everything is like, you know what? I'm just going to slap some new tires on this thing and it's going to be as good as new. Meanwhile, there's no engine in the car. The seats are missing. The doors are off it, you know. And that's really what these kinds of resolutions, these just, you know, physical resolutions are. Without God in it, you're putting new tires on a car with no engine. Okay? And so as we dial in today, I just want us to kind of have this in mind. So in Daniel chapter 3, very, very, very probably familiar to most people here, story. I just like their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? I love Abednego, right? I like saying that one. These are just cool names. A lot of us, if you were raised in the church, you've heard this. I'm sure even if you haven't been in long, maybe you've heard this. And it's all kind of in Daniel as well, and Daniel's a part of this story. But in chapter 3, what we find is a tremendous demonstration of faith and resolve in these three men. And I will explain as we go how this ties into our resolutions. But I just want to encourage you, as we look at this story, I want you to look at the way that they see God, or that their hope is in God, but that they hold to what they believe or hold to what they set out to do, regardless of what comes, all right? And with our resolutions, especially the ones that involve drawing closer to God and these kinds of things, we're going to have to hold fast to some things, and some trials will come. So to give a quick kind of catch up to speed here, we have this King Nebuchadnezzar, another fun name to say. King Nebuchadnezzar is not a nice guy. He worships many, 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 many gods, and he's fine with that. And so there's this, you see this mingling of beliefs and religions in this scene. And anyway, he has these bad dreams. I'm really going short summary here. He has these bad dreams. None of his guys that are supposed to be smart and be able to know these things can interpret it. So then there's this guy named Daniel. Most people know who Daniel is. He's brought in because word goes out that this guy can interpret dreams, and God has given him this, you know, God of the Bible, God has given him this ability. And so he's brought in, interprets the dreams, finds favor, all right, with King Nebuchadnezzar. And so, again, he is then promoted to a position of authority. And interestingly enough, he, at this point, he brings in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? Now, just to back up a little more, they were all brought in because the king wanted taught people or people that were smart that could learn or people that stood out from the rest to be able to teach them their language, things like that, and to bring them up and to raise them up in this. And it was from that. So they were kind of all these four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got brought in initially. Then there was the dreams. Daniel interpreted, and then they all kind of moved up another notch, okay? So that's kind of the scene. And then what happens is because, again, Nebuchadnezzar is probably bipolar or tripolar or quadpolar or whatever you want to say it. He's got multiple personalities going on. He gets really mad really quick. And so, but he's really into himself, and so he builds this huge statue about 90 feet tall, about 9 feet wide, and everybody is supposed to bow to this statue, okay? Now, as most of you probably know, that's a problem for those people that follow God of the Bible, you know, the God of Israel. So what happens is all these instruments play, the sound is given, and then everybody bows, but you have this awkward moment where you look around and you see these three silhouettes of three men still standing, as if they didn't hear. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing there, standing, because they will not bow to this false god. And so we pick up the story in verse 16. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are brought to the king. Because people, some of the other leaders and things that were jealous of them, were trying to basically get them killed. They were setting them up for a fall. And so they brought them to the king and said, these three are not bowing to your statue and not following your instructions. All right? And so here we go, verse 16 in chapter 3. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. So the king basically said, you need to be, hey, let's back up really quick. 15, he said, now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, all these instruments of every kind of music, fall down and worship the image that I made, well and good. All right, that means if they fall down and pray, worship this, they're good. All right, and then continue reading. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God, small g, notice what he's saying, who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, and I want you to listen to their answer because it is incredible. Imagine this crazy king threatening to throw them in a furnace. This guy has power. He's crazy. Here they are. This is what they say. O Nebuchadnezzar, don't even call him a king, says, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That they're talking to the king. And they say, we don't even need to answer what you just said. All right? Notice their attitude. Notice what they're doing and as they approach this king. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, now we're capital G, right? This is the real one. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They have made a choice. They are faced with basically death. And not, if there's a way to go, I don't know that I would want to go be dropped into a fiery furnace, okay? I would prefer something a little quicker, a little less, you know, burning to death in a fiery furnace is not anyone's idea. Not that any of us want to leave the earth like that, but this is not a pleasurable experience. But notice their resolve in standing face to face with the king. This isn't just somebody. This is the king. The same king that gave them promotion, that has been kind to them and promoted them along with Daniel to these positions. And now they're standing in direct opposition to the king and all those other people that bowed down and saying, you know what? God can deliver us. And this is why I played this video beforehand. God is able. God is capable. There's no doubt that our God is able. But regardless of what happens, whether he chooses to deliver us or not, bring it on. Our hope will not be shaken. Our faith will not be shaken, and we will not bow regardless. You see, too many times, church, we put parameters on God and how he answers, doesn't it? Don't we? We say, well, okay, God, you know, if you're really in this, I need you to do this. Okay? I need X, Y, Z. And if he doesn't fulfill it the exact way that we in our carnate minds and all of our brilliance here on earth, you know, the creation telling the creator how to do things, if he doesn't do it in this context, then he's failed. God does not need us. He wants us. God is God. And regardless of what he does or does not do for us or to us, that does not change. And our attitude needs to be more like these three men who are standing and says, come what may, I will still worship, I will still praise, and I will still glorify my God. Verse 19, the Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. So you're seeing this guy is just, now he's really mad. There's other words I would like to say, but I can't because we're in church. But this, he's so angry, he's really angry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, he's angry. With an expression on his face was changed, and so he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was heated. Again, 7 is a perfect number, so it was perfectly hot for cooking people. Okay? It was burning, on fire. And some even said that this might have been the same furnace that all the gold was made for this statue, now being used to destroy these men. And he ordered some of the mighty men, verse 20, of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, okay, so they're bound up in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, so they're all tied up. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Most likely they were almost kind of like mummified. They were tied up in these clothes. That's why they had to have these big men carry these guys, so they weren't walking. Okay, because the king's order was urgent, the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many can agree that the thing was hot? Okay, the men that even got close to it, trying to get these guys in it, died. All right. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Were they spared from the fire? Were they spared from entering? I mean, these guys are dying that are carrying them. They were thrown into the fire. Have we established that? There was no threat, and then the king was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Now, don't worry about it. Yeah, we're good. We're good. You don't have to go there. They were thrown into the fire. They were thrown into the furnace. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Now, there's some debate about this fourth person, either an angel, but more than likely, I think it was probably Jesus, pre-incarnate. And this is why I believe, you know, in the Bible when it says Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, I believe this is probably who it is. If it was an angel, the story is still about the same, but, you know, that's not... You can believe either one and you're going to go to heaven. Let me just put it that way. All right? It's okay. But the point is I see 4 men, they were unbound. Isn't that incredible? So they were thrown into the fire, bound, but now suddenly they're not just like laying or, you know, sulking or kind of wiggling around. They're unbound and they're walking around like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You know, I just need like toasting a marshmallow, you know, I need a little more heat on this side. Just walking around, everything's cool. Verse 24, 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Notice the capital G now. Notice what's happening. Nebuchadnezzar is starting to see a little bit. The Most High God, come out and come here. So then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll come out. That's cool. And they just start walking out like, just another day. Just another day. And so, and then, and came out from the fire. And so all these people came up. The king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. Listen to this. The hair of their head was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And even to the extent no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, it's all about God getting the glory. And this example of these three men is so rich for us to pull from, because first you see their attitude that regardless of what happens, we will worship God. Our hope is in God. Our faith is in God. But when they passed through the fire, they were thrown into the fire. They went through the fire. But when they came out, who received the glory? There was no question that these three men had nothing to do with their salvation. There was no question that something happened here that was not supposed to happen, that was out of their control or their power, but that God got the glory. Nobody gave them a script. Nobody gave a script to the king saying, oh, hey, or there was no like neon sign like, hey, this is the Most High God doing this. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that their God saved them. Their God delivered them from the fire. Continuing on, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command. He's talking about himself, right? He's like, he's giving these guys props, high fives for disobeying his command now, right? Who disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own. So you're seeing kind of the bipolarness here? Like now he's sort of like, oh, wow, that's cool. I like your God. Even though, you know, it was against himself and his commands, and they basically kind of made a fool of him. Now he's on the other side. And so then he goes in verse 29, therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God got the glory in the end, didn't he? God got the glory. And the reality is, even if they hadn't been delivered, I believe that what they left that king with, seeing somebody to the place where, you know what, we will not bow, and even if you put us to death in this furnace, our God is still God. He would have been left with that. But God chose to move and to answer, and he did this for his glory. And that's what it's all about in our lives, and that's what it's about when we do things or when we go through trials, when we go through struggles. It's about how does God receive the glory in it all? You see, we have this, well, a lot of people have this tendency to sort of want to delete the part of suffering when you follow Christ. One thing to notice about this story, these guys were just hanging out back in the day. They were teenagers. And then all of a sudden, because they were pretty good and students and things like that, they were promoted. And really, God promoted them to this place when when they first were brought into study, they were promoted to this special group that was being taught. Then while they're being taught in this promoted place that came from God, kind of move forward a little bit, oh, there's a dream that was interpreted by Daniel. Daniel pops up, but then he tells the king to bring his... So they're promoted a second time by God, which then basically puts them in a place where then they have to stand and not bow before this idol. Whereas if they were still back where they had started, they probably wouldn't have faced this situation. This wasn't the whole kingdom. This was one place, and these were all the leaders that were supposed to be bowing at this point. So from their promotion from God, it put them in a place where they had to make a choice to stand in the face of adversity. Our promotion, when God gives it to us, doesn't mean that that's just the end of it. We may have a season where, like, yeah, this is awesome. I got the promotion, and whatever that is, I got, you know, more. I got an increase in my income, whatever it is. Okay? That's a promotion. But from that, you may be led to a place where you have to face something even greater than you would have faced before. And so then they're standing there, they don't bow, and so now they have to face the fire. They have to face death. They come through it, this huge challenge. Most of us, has anybody else faced this kind of a challenge in their life? No, okay, nobody has in here, just if you're wondering. No one's faced a fiery furnace. So then they pass through this, and then what happens? What's at the end? What's the very last thing we read? You remember? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So even on the tail end of this, another promotion came. And so what we have to realize is that we need to expect challenges in life. You can get it exactly right. You know, some people vary on what they view as, is there like a perfect will of God, or are you in the will of God, or, you know, are you always in the will of God? Or I'm not here to debate where you stand on that. My point is this, is that you can get it right. You can hear from God. You can make the right decision. You can step exactly where you're supposed to step, and the bottom might fall out. And that's just the reality of it. See, if we're not careful, we get this thinking where if I follow, you know, like the little dance move steps on the floor, you know, and you're moving and you're doing all the right steps, that everything should go right. You should never have any problems. But the reality is that God may be leading you to a place of testing. And so if you're struggling today, if you're Maybe you carried through a resolution from last year. Maybe it wasn't a resolution. Maybe you just fell into it through the year, and God had led you to something, and you said yes to something, or you took a step of faith, and maybe all hell has broken loose in your world. That's the time when you can raise your hands and thank God. That's the time when you look at your problem or you look at your situation and say, regardless of what comes. Because I think, you know, we're always quick to go, why, God? Why are you doing this to me? God, why are you not answering me? When actually that situation may be his answer. Maybe he's testing you because he wants you to grow. It's easy to say, yeah, I know all this stuff. Yeah, I studied for the test. But imagine studying for the test but never taking the exam, right? We will be tested. It's in the Bible, all through it. One person to start with is Jesus, okay? He did not live an easy life. And if his life on earth ended beaten, betrayed, and dragging a cross, his own cross that he would ultimately be crucified on, why do we expect that our life should just be a bed of roses? We're promised eternity. We're promised a place of no suffering, no more tears, no more loss, no more death. But here on earth, it's part of the deal. And God is perfecting us through our challenges and through our pain. In Psalm 138, verse 7, it says this. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. So church, in this, I would, as I started with in this month of January, as we take time, and I hope all of you will join us in fasting and in praying. Please pray for the church, but also just get for direction for your own life and for your family this year. And some things I would like just to leave you with. The first is to make God a priority. Make God a priority. A guy that's a life coach and does all these seminars named Tony Robbins. Some of you may have heard of him. Written books, all these things. These are the things he says to make sure that you accomplish your resolutions. The first one is, what is the specific result? And I want to apply these now to making God a priority in your life this year. What is the specific result? What do you want God to do through this growing, or through what you're trying to put into your life, this discipline? The next thing is, what is your why? What is your why? And that kind of helps us, I think, to determine what it is we're asking for, right? Why do I want this? Is this for selfish gain? Is this, you know, what is this? And why do you want, when you say making God a priority, why do you want him a priority in your life? Because if he becomes priority, just make sure you understand that he's your Lord. And like I told you, that dangerous prayer to say, God, what is your resolution for me this year? The third question is how will you do it? Because what he says too is, he says, you need to be specific, as we talked about this first point. Be specific. So how will you do it? What are the specific things you're going to start implementing in your life to make sure that you accomplish making God a priority? Is it, you know, 15 minutes every morning? Is it coming to church on time? Everybody look at me. Keep looking at me. It's okay. I only come on time because I'm the pastor, so it's no, but what is it, though? What are some things that you need to tighten up in your world, in your life, in your walk with God to make God a priority? And how will you do it? Get very tangible in this area. Okay, and then finally he says, what tools, strategies, or resources will you need? So once you figure out what you want to do, then what do you need? Do you need an app? Do you need a better alarm clock? Do you need your spouse to kind of give you the elbow in the morning? Oh, hey, you need to get out of bed, or a foot and just push you out. What is it? What do you need? Do you need one of the pastors? Do you need to talk to us? And do you need us to hold you accountable? In the women's group, in the men's group, do you need somebody there? Whatever you need, this is the place to find support, just so you know. If you're willing to let yourself be a little vulnerable and put it out there, challenge each other. That's what we're supposed to do. Hopefully you've heard that through some of our messages in all of 2017. In a loving way, we're supposed to challenge. If we see you struggling, if we ask a question, it's not because we want to, aha. We want to, how do we help? I see this. But you only accomplish that through knowing each other and through having relationship. Finally, in closing, one of the number one 2018 resolution, in case you were wondering or wanted to know, at least on this website. You go everywhere, but it all kind of, you'll see it all kind of accumulates into this. This is deep. Are you ready? Is enjoy life to the fullest. 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 That's such a broad thing. I just want to have fun. I just want to enjoy life to the fullest. I don't want any problems. I don't want any struggles. I just want things to go well. And again, to an extent, okay, I get it. I mean, I wouldn't mind that either, to be honest. It hasn't happened yet, I don't think, in my lifetime. Where everything's just going smooth and hunky-dory, but enjoying life to the fullest. And what's sad is many people are going to try to save more, spend less, pay down their debt, live a healthier lifestyle, increase their income, and spend more time with family and friends, and think that's somehow going to give them this enjoyment in life to the fullest. But let me read from John chapter 10 for you for a second, in 7 through 10. It says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" Here it is. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." If you are looking to enjoy life to the fullest and do not have Jesus in the equation, you are looking in the wrong place. You are looking to things of this earth that will leave you feeling empty. If you don't believe me, at least from my country, and most of you are familiar with Hollywood, with the music industry, and with all these wealthy people who just can't seem to find happiness. They have everything that you, not you, but most people are looking for, don't they? They don't care about money. They got tons of money. They don't care about fame. They can't walk down the street without getting recognized and getting pictures taken. They have anything they want, basically, right? Anything. But they can't find happiness. They can't enjoy life to the fullest. And better than happiness is they can't find joy. They can't find joy because they don't have Jesus. And that's what I would challenge people with, is like everything you're doing, everything you're working yourself into the ground for, what is it going to get you? Except for like an ulcer and health condition, and you miss out on things in your family, your kids. But most of all, you miss out on Jesus. Because most of us, if we're honest, we don't spend the time we want to reading the Word. We don't spend time in devotions and things like that because we're too busy. We're too busy. We're pursuing things that they're going to leave us empty. And then what happens is we're hitting all those marks. We're doing all these things that we're supposed to, but our devotion, our time with God just kind of dwindles. But then we wonder why we feel so empty, why we're dragging, why we feel like life doesn't have purpose. It's because we've lost sight of what really matters. Have you ever seen the analogy, or the, not the analogy, but the jar, and you've got big rocks and little rocks, right? And if you haven't seen that, try it sometime. You take a jar and you take some big stones, and then you take a bunch of gravel, okay, like small stones. If you dump all the small stones in first and then try to jam the big ones in, it doesn't work. They can't fit. You take the big ones, you put those in, and then you sprinkle the smaller ones, and they all kind of fit around it. You have to prioritize what's important in your life. That first stone that goes in should be Jesus. I'm not just saying salvation, because most people in here are saved. What I'm saying is your relationship with Jesus, where is it at? What are you doing? Do you have one? Again, I was in the military and even as contractor, and many times I was away from my wife for months at a time. Sometimes up to 9 months at a time. Can you imagine if I left and never wrote, never called, and I just went 9 months without ever speaking to my wife? First off, yeah, I would probably not have a wife when I came back. What is that? That's crazy, right? I know we live in a modern age. We get the benefit of FaceTime and modern technology, or at least a phone call. But at least back in the day, what'd you do? You wrote letters, didn't you? You corresponded back and forth. There was communication. If you are in a relationship, typically there will be communication. If there's not communication, then there's either is no relationship or you need help, okay? Unless you're in a relationship with yourself, then maybe that works. But that's how it is with us and Jesus, right? We need to spend time and make God a priority. And so, again, in closing, what are your resolutions this year? What are your resolutions this year? If you've already written it down and you're super organized like that and you're ahead of the game, then I would challenge you to go and read through them again. Prioritize them. Make sure God is on that list. Let me kind of be so bold and just say, make sure the church is on that list. We're a body. We're a family. Jesus refers to us as a body. We need each other. If you take any part of your body away right now, you would probably feel it. We need each other. Commit yourself to the church and to this body and prioritize these things. All right? If you haven't written that list, then I would encourage you this month, again, spend time praying about it. Don't take it lightly. Set yourself a trajectory that's going to get you to where you want to be. And make sure you set things that are attainable too. All right? And I promise you, if you put God first, you will be amazed at how easy it is to achieve all those other things in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, again, just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, just for this message. Just for us at this beginning of this year, many of us feel like our slate is clean, that it's a new year, that the potential is endless and everything's open, and it's an exciting time of year, Lord. But I pray that we will pause in our preparation for the year and how to approach it the best way, God, to make the things that are most important priorities in our life, God, to just really surrender to you the way we saw today in this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we understand that once we make the resolution to put you first and to make you a priority, that we can expect opposition, that we can expect challenges to come. But that, God, if we trust you and we put our hope in you and you alone, Lord, that you will bring us through, that you will bring us through. God, that you will accomplish things within us, within our own lives, but Lord, also you will accomplish promoting yourself and showing your glory to others as they watch us go through challenging times. And God, we realize that we are made for that. God, that you love us and that you care for us, but that because you love everyone, you love others, and we love others, that sometimes our lives are used just to bring glory to you. And God, it's a dangerous prayer, a scary prayer to say, Lord, what do you want to accomplish this year through me? God, I pray that we'll step boldly to whatever it is that you answer to that question, that we will step forward and we will latch onto that and we will be relentless in letting go, and that we will stay to it regardless whatever may come. God, we will persevere and we will push through, and that we will know that you are with us, God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that we are not left alone on this earth to fend for ourselves and to go this journey alone, but that you are with us every step of the way. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have in this new year. I thank you, Lord, for each person here, that you bless them, Lord, that you, again, just bring health to every family, Lord, just help them to go forward, Lord, to accomplish, Lord, what it is you set before them. God, I pray just for this church as a whole, that you continue, Lord, to use us as a light, as a beacon of hope, Lord, in this region of the world. God, I thank you for our children who we can hear in the hall, Lord. Just bless them. Bless the ministry, the children's ministry, Lord. God, we pray that you will continue to just grow that you will bring just these young people, Lord, these beautiful creations that you've made, and give us opportunity, Lord, just to instill biblical truth into them. God, we thank you for our youth group and the youth ministry, Lord, and God, that you continue to help the teachers and help those that are a part of it to grow and work through this difficult transition in life, Father, from being a child to being an adult. And God, we pray that you'll just bless them. And God, we thank you for just every ministry in this church. We thank you for the life groups and those that volunteer to facilitate those. God, just every single aspect of ministry in this church. And God, we pray that you will help us to get to a place, Lord, to where we can do even more to help in this community, in this place, in this in Kuwait, Father, but also around the world, that we can support ministry globally. So God, we just want to be good stewards of that. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.